You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again one of our most respected and most frequent guests, Dr. Quentin Henning. He is with us today to talk about Irving Resources. That's a company for which he is a director. It is also a company that I have listed as a recommendation in my newsletter, and it's also one that I own personally. I'm very, very excited about this story, so I'm really happy to have Quentin with us. Irving is involved in exploring for epithermal gold systems in Japan, and it's a fairly unique, somewhat unique business model that Quentin will tell you about. But most of all, I think what you want to keep your ears open to is what is the announcement that the company made on December 13th that is looks like a very, very important announcement. Quentin will tell you why. Irving Resources trades in Canada, IRV, IRVRF in the U.S., 69.9 million shares. I saw trading earlier today at about 86 cents in U.S. money, that giving it a market cap of roughly $60 million. Quentin, thanks so much for joining me again.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Jay.
It is always a pleasure to have you on. And for the benefit of the listeners, maybe just very quickly explain the business thesis and the business model that's a little bit unique, I would say, to Japan.
Yeah, certainly. Look, Japan is a gold province. Most people don't know that, but gold's been mined here for many hundreds of years. Most of it's been produced over the past, say, 400 years since the Edo period. And there are a number of world-class gold mines. There was a number of historic mines like Sato Island and Kushikino and so forth that produce a lot of gold, but there have also been more recent discoveries like the famous Ishikari deposit, which is still one of the highest grade operating gold mines on earth. It produces, I think, around 200,000 or 300,000 ounces a year at very low cost. It's an epithermal vein system, a hot spring vein system in Kyushu. The business model that we have is, you know, to look for similar deposits to Hishikari and these other epithermal vein systems across Japan. But to find ones that have high silica that are ideally suited for smelter flux. Flux used in smelters to help with the thermal retention inside of the kilns, but also to help materials melt, just chemically. And these smelters in Japan, there's many of them. They all need many tens or even hundreds of thousands of tons of flux per year. And the gold and the silver come out when the rock is added to the furnace. So it basically comes out into the copper or zinc or lead or whatever they're producing. And then the gold and silver are then subsequently recovered through electrolytic processing of the metal being sought. So the gold were basically byproducts of the smelting process. Now, what this means is you can, if you find a nice deposit of gold and silver silica veins, you can sell it, you know, outright to the smelters. They usually pay over 90% for the precious metal content. They actually pay for the silica content as well. $35 US per ton for the silica alone. So, you know, that's got value. And there's no end to appetite here. So, you know, it's a wonderful outcome. You don't have to capitalize a mill, for example. You can actually just mine this stuff and ship it direct. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for deposits that would be well-suited for smelter flux.
Right. And okay, so that's the big picture. Now, on December 13th, an announcement of the discovery of a buried epithermal deposit at the Omui mine site. That's in Hokkaido, and that's in the northern part of Japan where you've focused most of your efforts so far. But you're calling this a game changer, Quentin, if I understood you properly. Talk to us about the significance of this discovery.
Well, it's quite interesting. The Omui site, which is the core, I'll call it the core target area within the Omui property, it's one of three target areas. I shouldn't say it's core, but it's one of the core properties or targets. Is an interesting occurrence. It's on a mining concession, so it's actually already, you know, halfway to becoming a mine in the sense of permitting and legalities. But the system itself is an exceptionally high grade occurrence. Okay, to describe it in just basic terms, it's an area about maybe 2 or 3 square kilometers in size in which the ground is just totally cooked. I mean, the rocks are thoroughly altered. There are veins crisscrossing this place everywhere. We've drilled on the order of 20 to 25 holes, call it, on the property so far, and all but one of them have hit high-grade veins. In fact, many of the holes have hit numerous high-grade veins. But when we were drilling late last year, we had an amazing occurrence. We were targeting this kind of step-out follow-up around these veins, and we found that there's a completely buried system underneath. Okay, we were drilling some veins. The drill hole started to encounter more silicification. I encouraged the team in Japan to keep drilling, which they did, fortunately, and they went into a completely buried silica sinter system. What does this mean? Well, it means there's basically an entirely preserved hot spring system, a second hot spring system below the surface. Now, this is very important, and I'll tell you why. When I first went to Omui, I found the prospector who vended the property to us showed me occurrences of veins exceptionally high grade, you know, running many ounces of gold and hundreds of even thousands of ounces of silver.
Hmm.
And I took some samples, and sure enough, I mean, wonderful results. Now, we've drilled a lot of holes, and we've hit a lot of veins, but we've never seen anything just uber bonanza like that. But what I've realized now, once we got these results from hole 2 late last year, is that the rocks I was sampling are probably being derived from the lower sinter. Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, these are basically rocks that are being ripped up by the hydrothermal system after it was buried. Like, you know, imagine a hot spring. Let's say you're in Yellowstone Park. You're standing next to a hot spring. It's doing its thing. It's, you know, bubbling out water and geysers and so forth. But then all of a sudden, boom, there's a volcanic eruption. And you bury the thing by 200 meters of volcanic rock. Okay? What's the hot spring system going to do? It's going to try to make its way back up to the surface. And that's what happened here. So the veins we've been exploring are the ones that formed in the second pulse, the ones where the system tried to reestablish itself. Mm-hmm. And as they did, they ripped up material from below, including this uber high-grade stuff. Now, my view is that the uber high-grade samples that we collected at site are probably coming from the lower sinter terrace or thereabouts. So we're going to drill some holes here soon. We are going back up because this is so exciting. We're going to go ahead and start drilling here in a few weeks and follow up on this. So stay tuned.
Is this quite a bit deeper than what you were drilling before?
It's about 200 meters vertically down below surface. So it is, you know, we've been testing for the most part in the upper 200 meters. We had one hole, though, hole 10 from 2019, which actually did drill down into the lower area. And if you recall, we hit something like 22 veins in that hole.
Yeah.
Well, now that we can put this whole picture together, I think the bottom of hole 10, which hit exceptional mineralization, is actually part of this lower system. You know, if you look at it, it got down into that lower part. Now, we didn't understand it at the time, but now we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're going back at this thing very aggressively. I think there is a big system down there.
And there is I think the Fruta del Norte is a very similar sort of occurrence, isn't it?
I'm really glad you brought that up because that is the analog here. Fruta del Norte in Ecuador, when they first discovered it, the sinter, which you know, it did poke out, I think, in one or two places, was, for the most part, buried. Okay, so they drilling down, they hit a sinter cap, and it was a little ways underneath that they actually found the ore body. Okay, so I'm really hoping, you know, this might be a similar scenario where when we start rooting around and poking holes down below this lower sinter that we find an exceptional gold system buried and completely preserved underneath the surface.
Well, you have a lot of other targets that you're looking at too, but I guess this is probably your primary focus will be this year is this new occurrence. But maybe just talk to us briefly about some of the other things that you have going. And I know you've been doing a lot of grassroots exploration and coming up with more targets as well. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
No, let's talk about it. Look, we will drill some more holes at Jucuria. We left off drilling there late last year. We got one hole in. We're going to drill some more up there. That's part of Omu. Very high grade veins up there. We're going to drill some more holes at Omu Center, which is down near next to the ocean. Again, part of the Omu project. So we have more drill targets to test later this year. But we also are gearing up work at Yamagana. Yamagana is our project down in Kyushu, which is next to Hishikari. It's nearby. And we think it's an analog, a direct analog of the Hishikari deposit. So we're going to gear up some work there. We've got a lot of geophysics done already. We are starting to see some very clear patterns emerge from that. And once we get all the geophysics done, we will develop a drill test for that target later this year.
Yeah, you also, I mean, another exciting story is what you're doing down in the southern part of the country. What is it, Yamagana? My mining license. Can you just talk to us briefly about that?
Yeah, Yamagana. Yeah, that's the one I was just describing.
And describing. Yeah, right.
You know, the way to think about it, yeah, I wasn't sure how much time we had, but the way to think about Yamagana is the kind of the crown jewel of exploration in Japan.
Yeah,
it is the closest project to Hishikari. I mean, it's basically the one right next door. It is in the same age rock, same geology. It's the same age system. It's basically a replicate of Hishikari. Mm-hmm. Now, the historic mining that was done there dates back about 400 years ago to the Edo period. And there was a family called the Shimatsus who owned the core mining lease here for 400 years. Now, Akiko managed to cut a deal with Shimatsus. It's an absolutely amazing feat given that, you know, many big mining companies in Japan have tried to get this tenement. But here, Akiko pulled it off. Or mining lease, and we've now staked tenements around it. So we have the entirety of the Yamagana district. And I'm telling you, this is the absolute crown jewel of exploration in Japan. I am very optimistic we will find a replicate of Hishikari.
And all that for a $60 million market cap company. And it's just really exciting. I think it obviously, you know, COVID really hurt Irving more than a lot of other companies. But I guess you're getting going now. You have the drillers. And how many rigs will you have going this year?
COVID was a nightmare, as we know. We have two rigs, actually, one from Sumitomo Metal Mining, and we have one from Canada from Rod Ring Drilling. We're going to use both of those this year. Mm-hmm. We'll start up at Omu. Hopefully we get the permits in place for Yamagana by late year, and we can drill there too. But we are gearing things back up. I'm really hoping that Omicron and this blowout of COVID is basically going to
put
COVID in the rearview mirror and we can get on with life.
Amen with that. And the company's well funded for this year?
Yes, we are. I think currently we have around 10 or 11 million Canadian dollars. Of course, Newmont has been a strong supporter of us over the years, and I would expect them to continue to be so.
Yeah, you have some great shareholders, and that's always important too. It's going to be really exciting. I guess just looking forward, then the drivers will be, you know, will be looking for the drill results coming out from your new discovery there this year. That'll be one thing, and then I guess we'll have a pretty steady diet of drill results as time goes on.
That's correct. Yes, we should get drill results from the two holes we finished late last year here soon. But then we're going to fire up the drill again here shortly, and then I'm hoping to see a steady stream of drill releases from Omui, Hukuria, and Omui Center over the next few months. At the end of the year, that's when we would hit Yamagana.
Great. All right. Well, we'll have to leave a go at that. Quentin, thank you so much for spending the time with us, explaining this very exciting story. I hope that people will go to the website, the Irving website, and check it out and do your due diligence. But it is a very exciting story, one that I really like a lot personally. So thank you, Quentin. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Lynn Alden is going to be with us to talk about the market changes that she sees into 2022. And she'll talk a little bit about the massive amount of capital that has flown to the United States that, well, it better stay here or there could be some downside risk. We'll talk to Lynn Alden when we get back from right after the break. Don't go away.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.